Okay, thank you very much. Would you tell me your name and responsibility, please?
My name is John Ingram. Mm-hmm. I work for the United Kingdom Natural Environment Research Council. I'm based in the University in Oxford. And my role in the Climate Change, Agriculture and Food Security Programme is to help with the development of scenarios. Mm-hmm. This is an important area of the research agenda because it helps us all in the region think constructively about the future, where, of course, the future is unknown.
Okay, how do you start this process? You know, what was the entry point?
The initial activity is to get together a group of people from East Africa, mm-hmm. who represent, as far as possible, a range of different viewpoints. Many of us come from agricultural science, but when we talk about food security, we need to be engaging with the policy process, with the private sector, with the industry and the finance sectors, all the different components which underpin food security for the region. Mm-hmm. We get a representative, as far as we can, from these communities together in a workshop, and the first step is to identify what our major uncertainties are about the future.
In East Africa?
In East Africa, okay. Absolutely, yes. And in the first workshop, which was just over a year ago, we came up with two major uncertainties, mm-hmm. which will have tremendous effect on how food security. The first one was the degree of political and economic integration that we will see in East Africa, mm-hmm. leading up to 2030. Mm-hmm. So the uncertainty is whether or not the future will be very much like today, that we call the status quo, individual nations, multiple currencies, a number of trading agreements, which are effective or not, depending on the nature of the agreements, or a much more integrated East Africa, where there would be, for instance, a common currency, much more harmonized trade arrangements, reduced barriers for flow of food across borders, reduced barriers for the flow of labor across borders, and the like. So that was one of the major uncertainties, the degree of integration. Mm-hmm. The other major uncertainty was the way in which the society in East Africa and the policy process particularly will respond to stress. Now, the stress could come from increased population or climate change or increased investment by foreign investors. And the response can either be to react to the stress, mm-hmm. once it's arrived, so you know what you're dealing with, mm-hmm. or to be proactive, where you put in place measures to prepare for the stress. Both strategies have pros and cons, but nonetheless, which way the community here will respond to future stresses is an uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Could either be reactive or proactive. So what that delivers for us are four different worlds which are broadly based on the degree of integration and the nature of response, reactive or proactive.
Okay, and then did you set the objective, the purpose, and what was there?
The purpose of the whole exercise is to help policy, technical officers, and other actors who are engaged in the food security debate to think about the way the future may unfold and to help them think constructively about policy and technical adaptation options which could be most effective given these four future possible worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So none of the future worlds is necessarily going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are meant to be better or worse than any other.
Mm-hmm.
But each of the future worlds has opportunities which can be thought about in terms of policy development. Each future world has problems associated with mm-hmm. it, so that when there are planning exercises to improve food security but also maintain environmental conditions as best as we can and increase livelihoods, reduce poverty, these three major goals, food security, environment, and livelihoods, can be thought of together because there are synergies and there are trade-offs.
Mm-hmm.
A particular policy to improve food security may be at the expense of environment, or a policy which is aimed at enhancing forest cover might actually be very helpful for local livelihoods,
yeah,
if it's implemented in the correct way. So the question facing policy is in what would be the future conditions in which their policy will unroll. That, of course, is the challenge,
mm-hmm.
because we can't predict the future. What we can do is think about some plausible futures using these four scenarios, four future worlds, and have a discussion imagining we are living in these four future worlds, so that we can design policy and technical interventions given the opportunities and the constraints that each of these four future worlds will have within them.
Okay, would you tell me a little about the process from the Nairobi to here in Dar es Salaam?
I'm very pleased you've used the word process, because scenario development is very much a process. It's not a one-off workshop. It has a number of meetings, a number of workshops, and work in between those workshops to prepare the storylines which describe the future. So the process started with an initial workshop in Nairobi about 15 months ago, where we identified what the major uncertainties were. That took a lot of debate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very exciting debate, because everybody in the room was able to put to one side their specialism, if you will, their particular angle, and just think openly and broadly about the region as a whole and the future in general. What are their fears? What are their concerns? What are their optimistic ideals? Very open discussion. That's where we came up with these four major worlds.
Mm-hmm.
The integrated.
By the way, would you tell me in brief these four major worlds or the four scenarios?
The four scenarios are built upon the notion of first a more integrated East Africa,
mm-hmm.
where there is a proactive stance to stress. The second one is a more integrated East Africa, where there's a reactive stance to stress. The third future world is a East Africa with the current level of integration, which we're calling status quo. So a status quo world in terms of economic and political integration, where one is proactive to stress. And the fourth world is the status quo, where one is reactive to stress.
Okay, so you have identified these four scenarios. And then what? And then?
Then the next stage is to think about the areas of interest for the research program, namely food security, environmental conditions, and livelihoods, and to consider what we would be interested in measuring for each of those three areas to get a feel for how they would change in these four future worlds. So, for instance, for food security, one of the major areas of interest is the affordability of food. How do we determine that? Well, it's a combination of the price of food and the income available for people to spend on food. So it brings together how expensive is the food and how wealthy are the people, together in a single metric called affordability. So the question is, how will the affordability of food change in our four future worlds? And that again takes a huge amount of debate, but one can begin to use models which are computer-based arithmetic models to get a handle on some of these factors. Other factors, for instance, how will the social capital change in the four future worlds, and what will be the impact of that on livelihoods and well-being, is a much harder metric to measure, certainly hard to model. So one uses some proxies, for instance, how many NGO networks are there active, how well connected are they, how much cash flow is going through NGOs as opposed to the state sector, factors like that. Then you estimate how these factors will change over the next 20 years in each of our four different worlds. Mm-hmm. And the drivers which bring about the change in the factors very much depend on the nature of the world in which we're discussing the factor. So a more integrated East Africa with a proactive approach to stress could, for instance, have a much better distribution system for food, could allow prices to be more stable, to dampen fluctuations, because one's dealing with a larger area with a number of locations and a better distributed and better connected market. So it helps to dampen fluctuation. And fluctuation in price of food is one of the major determinants of food insecurity. Mm-hmm. Whereas a status quo world where there is less regional integration, where, for instance, the state sector is more reactive to a stress, would not have the benefit of being able to dampen price fluctuation to the same degree as the world which is more integrated. So one can then compare between these various worlds and decide not which necessarily is the best world, that's not the point, it's to work out what options there are for management and policy development given a range of uncertainties that have tremendous bearing on the issue.
Okay, what are you going to do next for the next couple of weeks, months?
The next phase of the exercise is to quantify as far as possible the factors which have been agreed upon as important factors in food security, environmental conditions, and livelihoods. And the workshops have, the second workshop began to identify what our list of factors should be. This workshop is now thinking about how do we measure those factors and how are we going to estimate their change over the next two decades. Some of them are relatively straightforward. For instance, sediment load in water. We know how to measure that. Mm-hmm. We can use mathematical models to estimate how that will change given certain land management decisions and certain rainfall events. Others are much harder. and we need to use what are called proxies. So you're not actually measuring the factor itself, but you're measuring something that is very dependent on the factor. And we're spending time this workshop debating how we measure this suite of factors and thinking about how they will be changing in our four future worlds. The follow-up to that will be a presentation of the scenarios to leading policy people from the region, leading people in private sector, captains of industry and the like, to discuss with them how they perceive the scenarios in terms of their decision-making process. So how they would like to see the scenarios developed further to map more exactly on many of the questions which are emerging in the policy debate. The policy debate is very dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
The research agenda needs to be dynamic as well. And so we have a process of dialogue, formalized in meetings, informal dialogues with one-to-one meetings with policy people or industry people, private sector or major NGOs, so that over the course of the next year, we would be able to have not only confidence in our scenarios, that we are confident that we are describing a number of plausible futures where there is internal logic in the story. So one aspect of the story may unfold in the same scenario, another aspect can only happen if it's in agreement with the first aspect, so that you can't have an inconsistency within the story. So we have confidence in the stories of the next 20 years. We also have confidence in the quantification of the chief factors in the stories. And we have increased understanding of the way that the policy process can use this exercise to help them in their planning, in their discussions about investment of infrastructure or investment in markets or whatever their particular agenda is. It then becomes iterative, so that a question is posed from the policy perspective and the scenario team decide how best to modify the outputs from the scenarios to help address that new question.
Okay. Is it possible to tell about the possible output at this time?
The outputs are vary in their nature. There are outputs from the workshops in the forms of reports and analyses of how some of our key factors will change over time. That's a formal paper output, if you will. Another important output is the building of teams of people in the region who have jointly developed these scenarios and who have got to know each other, come from backgrounds, varying backgrounds, and perhaps they wouldn't have met normally. Often you find the agricultural scientists sticking together. And what's exciting about the scenario exercise is that they meet people from the private sector, from the NGO community, from policy, from donors, and they work together as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And the development of these teams is terribly important, because it's the team in the region that takes forward the process and owns the process and uses the process. The job of the international project, which is helping with this process, is to literally help the process. The ownership rests within the region. The nature of the storylines comes from the region, and the use to which the exercise is put is within and for the region. And that's very important, so that the team I've mentioned really feels an ownership of not only the process, but the product, and can put it to the best use.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.